Okay, we're going to call this meeting of the Sunrise Manor Town Advisory Board together to order. All please rise. Make sure your cell phones are turned to silence or turned off, please, and please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. So, and now we'll roll call in attendance, obviously myself, Max Carter, chairperson, Alexandria Malone, vice chairperson, member Earl Barbeau, member Paul Thomas, member Briseida Castro, and I probably said that wrong, secretary Jill Leyva, and from staff Beatrice Martinez. Do we have any comprehensive planning?
And Rob Kaminsky from Comp.
Oh, okay, thank you. And so that gets us through roll call and county staff introductions, and that brings us to public comment. Public comment, this is a period for public comment related to any item on the agenda. And the purpose of it is so that if you can't for some reason stay till the agenda item comes up, you get the chance to have your voice heard. Is there any public comment? On appearing, we'll close public comment, and can I get a motion to approve the minutes of August 27th, 2020? I have a motion to approve the minutes of August 27th, 2020. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion passes. And now, can I get a motion to approve the agenda for September 10th, 2020? We have a motion to approve the agenda as printed. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes, and that brings up informational items.
Just wanted to update folks. There is El Dorado High School being added to the COVID-19 test sites, along with Fiesta and Henderson Texas Station and North Las Vegas and Family Stadium that will be doing testing starting next week, Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Very good. Thank you very much. And then that brings us into planning and zoning portion of the meeting. Our first item is, item one is UC 200349, Trans Arrow Land and Development Company and Buckley Trust. Use permits for the following: convenience store alcohol sales, beer and wine package only, alcohol sales liquor package only. Waiver of development standards for the following: reduce landscaping, allow vertical metal siding, and alternative driveway geometrics. Design reviews for the following: alternative parking lot landscaping to a convenience store with gasoline station on a portion of 17.8 acres in an MD design manufacturing AE75 APZ2 zone, generally located on the northeast corner of Cheyenne Avenue and Lamb Boulevard within Sunrise Manor. Is the applicant present?
Yes.
State your name and address for the record, and then tell us what's going on.
Okay, I'm Chris Kempfer, 1980 Festival Plaza Drive, Suite 650, here on behalf of Maverick. The property we are talking about is located on the northeast corner of Cheyenne and Lamb. The property is zoned MD, and the property to the immediate east is zone M1. The property across Cheyenne to the west is zone MD. The property to the immediate south is zoned M1 and C2. And the property to the north across Bolton is zoned RT and C1. So the use fits right in to this particular location based on surrounding zoning. To further evidence that, a convenience store with gasoline sales was previously approved on this exact same site in 1997, but this never got constructed. If you're familiar with the Maverick, this is a standard Maverick operation with a standard Maverick look, if you will, which is kind of a, maybe Western kind of appeal to it, adventures first stop, And what we have here is a building height that's 29 feet, of which 9 feet is that A-frame that's in the center of it, more accurately depicted on the top elevation than the one in the middle. The materials consist of a cultured stone veneer around the base of the building and decorative vertical metal siding on the side. Staff has no objection to the siding, and that is one of the deviations that we are requesting. And I'd like to, if I could, just read from the staff comment. You know, you used to lick your fingers when you would do this, and you're supposed to.
Kind of hard to do now, huh?
No. So it says the proposed vertical metal paneling is integrated into the design of the convenience store and complements the stone veneer and desert earth tone color. In addition, the vertical metal paneling is painted to match the color scheme of the building. As a result, the design is aesthetically pleasing and is compatible with the surrounding industrial development in the area. So that addresses one of the deviations. Now, while landscaping fingers are not provided at the ends of each parking row, staff further notes, and I think this is important, while that they are not provided, landscaping is provided at the four corners of the parking rows surrounding the convenience store. In addition, trees are provided within the outside dining area, which helps reduce the urban heat island effect and provide visual relief. As a result, the alternative standards meet the intent of the parking lot landscape requirements. Landscaping exceeds Title 30 standards and other portions of the street landscaping areas, and landscaping is provided along the north and east sides of the site where it is not required. So throat depth waivers are also being requested. They are supported by Public Works. Public Works indicates staff has no objection to the reduction in the throat depth for the Cheyenne Avenue driveway. Since Cheyenne Avenue is a Nevada Department of Transportation roadway, the ultimate decision will be made by NDOT. With regard to the throat depth on land, staff similarly indicates that it supports the request to reduce it. Parking is provided. 60 spaces are required, or 24 are required, and 60 are provided. So parking is not an issue. Now, the fun part of this, and I've represented Maverick for a lot of years, and I represent numerous other convenience store operations. None of them go through the detail in terms of interior and exterior design. These are not just, you know, pictures. This is exactly, these are taken from what a Maverick operation looks like. I don't know if you've been in a Maverick store, but they have all of the ceilings are painted in adventure kinds of themes. I think the thing that impresses me most is this is the walkway to the restrooms. So every detail is captured here. They want this to be just absolutely high quality. They have food serving areas. They have, in some of them, they have Cinnabons. They have just, everything is first class. And staff has recommended approval of all items. And we respectfully ask for your approval as well.
Thank you very much. Now we move to the portion of questions and comments from the public. Anybody wishing to address the board, please step forward, state your name and address for the record. None appearing, public comments closed. We go to questions, comments, or motion from the board.
Motion to approve.
We have a motion to approve. All those in favor? Go ahead.
Can you just, I didn't see it in any of the site plans, can you just address 3A, the reduction from 25 feet to 7 feet in the throat depth?
Well, unfortunately, the client, I don't know where he was gone. He had the site plan. I don't have that. What it is the I don't know the reason for it is that the throat depth had to be decreased in order to compensate for the driveway entrance. That's all I know.
You don't know which side of the corner, if it's on the south or the west side?
I should know that.
It's on Cheyenne.
It's on Cheyenne.
It is on Cheyenne, but I don't know specifically.
Both throat depths on Cheyenne, yeah.
I think it says both, right?
And in fact, yes, and throat depth reduction is on both of them.
Right.
And it'll ultimately be up to NDOT whether that's approved or not.
On the one on Cheyenne, and then land is Public Works and they recommend approval. I'm sorry if that's not a more complete answer, but he's driving around somewhere, I guess, with the site plan.
Okay.
Okay, you comfortable?
Yeah.
Okay, so we have a motion to approve. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Thank you very much. Don't go anywhere because I think you're next.
I am next on vacation.
Okay, don't forget, you got to go to the Planning Commission October 6, 2020. Next one is VS 20-0350. Trans Arrow Land and Development Company and Buckley Trust vacate and abandon a portion of the right-of-way being Lamb Boulevard between Cheyenne Avenue and Colton Avenue within Sunrise Manor. Is the applicant present? State your name and address for the record.
Chris Kempfer, 1980 Festival Plaza Drive, Suite 650, here on behalf of Maverick. As you can read from the staff report, it's designed for two purposes. One, not just to accommodate the station and the convenience market, but also we're putting in a dual left turn lane and a bus stop. And so consequently, we need to vacate and abandon that for that purpose. So staff's recommending approval, and we need that for your approval as well.
Any questions or comments from the public on this item? Not appearing, we'll go to staff. I mean to board.
Motion to approve.
I have a motion to approve with staff recommendations. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion passes. Make sure you attend your Planning Commission meeting.
I will, and thank you all, and all of you please stay safe. Okay?
Thank you.
Thank you.
And that brings us to UC 200355, Church Sunrise Bible. Use permit to allow a school. Waiver of development standards for the following: setback ratio, Bailey Lane approach distance, Kell Lane approach and departure distance, and throat depth. Design review for a school on 3 acres in an RE Rural Estates residential zone, generally located on the south side of Kell Lane and the east side of Betty Lane within Sunrise Manor. Is the applicant present? State your name and address for the record.
Yes, good evening. Liz Olson, 1980 Festival Plaza Drive, here on behalf of the applicant, Nevada Prep Academy. I'm happy to be before you today without a room full of people behind me, so hopefully this is a little bit faster than last time. Nevada Prep Academy is an existing charter school in the county. They are currently operating out of another church property over off of Eastern in Paradise. They share that property with another charter school, so they're looking for a new location to branch off by themselves, which is what's before you this evening. So as you know, the property is located on the corner of Kell and Betty here. It's currently operating as a church site, has been since the early 60s. We have a couple schools in the area here, a couple of churches, and of course some commercial scattered throughout the neighborhood, as well, of course, as residential around us. So what I'll do is I'll just quickly go over our site plan and our layout, and then a couple of just facts and procedural issues that generally come up as questions for charter schools, and turn it over to you guys. So as you know, there are two existing buildings on the site, buildings A and B, as we're showing here. The application before you this evening would allow for an additional building, which is building C here. On the site plan, we're showing the existing courtyard here, a couple of student plazas throughout, a basketball court and a turf. These will not be lit, just to make that a on the record. These will not have any lights on them. There's going to be two main access points. So the first is along Betty Lane here. This is for bus drop-off and pickup only. And I'll get to that in a little bit. But this is not for parents to drop off. This will be monitored by a staff member at all time. There will be signage, and it's in and out one way. So you come in this way and come around and then out. The other access point is off of Kell. This would be for the parents coming to pick up and drop off their students. It would be two lanes, so it goes all the way around the site and then back out on Betty. We don't have any access along Sherwin Lane here. Yes, yes, one way. So we come in and go out around here this way. So a couple of quick facts, numbers for you guys. This would be grades 3 through 8 only, maximum student count of 650. So compared to the other schools in the area, the middle school, of course, has about 1,200, and then the elementary schools are at about 600 to 700. So we're right about the same as the other elementary schools, but we're 3 through 8. Our school hours would be 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. The pickup and drop-off times will be staggered and will happen an hour before and an hour after those times. So the reason for that is to try to get people in and out before people are really leaving and coming home from work. Sorry, it's really hard to talk with this one. But again, so an hour before 7 a.m. and an hour after, or before 4 p.m. One of the major concerns, of course, with schools is traffic. And one of the interesting things about this school is that they utilize buses. So again, we go back to the bus drop-off. They are currently using 2 school buses, which pick up and drop off 50% of their capacity. So that significantly reduces the number of cars that are coming in and out here. Right now, they pick up at MLK Elementary School a full bus every morning. So there are students in the area, which I'd like to also show you. These are 2 maps of students in the existing area that are currently enrolled at the other location. So this is Nellis and Lake Mead. All of the green dots are homes, so majority of the time there are more than one student on each of these dots. So a lot of times a concern with charter schools is that there are no students that are going to be utilizing the school in the area. They're all going to be coming from different areas, driving in, etc. I think it's important to see this to show that this school location will be an asset to the neighborhood because there are so many families who are living around this property. We do have some families here that live in the neighborhood that may want to speak, but just wanted to show you that quickly. We have a few waivers that I'm going to go over. Staff is recommending approval of all of them, but I just want to go over them quickly in case there's any questions. Okay, so the first one is our approach distance and departure distance off of Betty Lane. So our approach distance is 40 feet coming to Kell here, and our departure distance is 100 feet from here. So staff's recommending approval of that because there won't be any back and forth here. It'll just be one way in and out, and it'll only be for the buses. So there's not going to be a lot of cars. Our second one is our approach distance coming from this access point to Kell Lane and Sherwin here. Again, staff's recommending approval here because this is, again, one way. We're not going to have anybody coming out and then turning here. Next one is our throat depth on Kell here. Again, so we are requesting a reduction to 15 feet where 25 feet is required. Staff's recommending approval for a couple of reasons. First, because it is one way, so there's not going to be any people coming the opposite way. But we have also added some additional landscaping here to kind of lengthen this a little bit. And then our last one is our setback to the residential on the east side of us here from building C. So we are requesting a reduction to 37 feet where 84 feet is required. There's a couple things here. Staff, again, is recommending approval. What we've done is we've added, yes, oh, I'm sorry, south side. We've added landscaping here and the drive aisle to give it a bigger a buffer zone. Now in the code, and it mentions this in the staff report, that buildings under 35 feet, they can apply for a shorter setback distance of only 10 feet if they increase this landscaping to 10 feet and make it intense. And intense, the only thing that would be different here is that the trees would be staggered. So rather than pushing this building as close as we could to the existing homes here, we rather ask for the waiver and have that additional buffering. So that's the overall application. Like I said, we have some families here that do live in the area that would like to express some support, but otherwise we appreciate staff's recommendation.
Very good presentation. Now we'll move on to the public comment. Anybody wishing to comment, please step forward, state your name and address for the record, and address your comments to the board.
This is our principal, in case you have any specific questions.
Sure. Yeah, happy to answer any questions. My name is David Blodgett, 2525 Emerson Avenue. I'm the principal of the school, and just to reiterate everything that Liz said, so our school location is currently pretty centrally located in the valley, but most of our families actually live very close to the new site. It's one reason why it was very appealing to us. So just to reiterate, we want to be good neighbors. That's one reason why we know traffic is a concern for everyone. Most of our students come in the bus, and we have video footage available if you'd like to see what our current pick-up and drop-up or drop-off procedures look like. It's a high-performing school, so families are satisfied. The families that are here represent a small fraction of the families that are currently there. All the families here today live in the zip code of the current or the proposed site. And yeah, some may be nervous to speak, but we told them that just being here is good, supportable. So, any questions I can answer?
Very good. Thank you very much. Any other public comment? I appreciate you all showing up here. It means a lot, especially the fact that you live in this neighborhood where this is going to be built. And good for you for taking care of your kids. So with that, we'll close public comment and move into comments and questions from the board.
My question is about parking. It says that they require 38. We have 38. I took a ride out there to look at the site because I couldn't figure out where we went to the school.
First question, so our parking is located along the back here, and of course, yes, so if this is approved, the church will be meeting, so there won't be any church services on the property anymore. Mm-hmm.
So this is a total conversion then, so
correct. Yes. Yep.
No. Very good.
Question. What's around the perimeter? Is there a fence, a wall, or?
So there is an existing 3-foot wall on this side here. We're going to be adding a 6-foot wall on the south side. No wall along the west or the north here, just landscaping where the access points are.
One more question. Is everybody here in favor of it?
Is anybody opposed?
Anybody opposed?
Good. Okay. And then I have a question. What strikes me right away is 38 parking spots. What's going to happen on, you know, parent-teacher nights or assemblies, or, you know, are we going to inundate the neighborhood with people parking in the streets because of an event at the school that the families are involved in? How do you plan on managing that?
That's a great question. So because we have 2 lanes here, what we'll be able to do is kind of stack some cars around here.
Okay.
And because they'll be in certain times, right? It won't be in and out. People won't be stuck on the parking spots here. so we'll be able to park around here, but absolutely not. That is a main goal with these guys. They have staff members at their current location constantly walking around during all activities to make sure that there's no parking illegally.
One thing they did mention is the parking requirement provided for.
I understand. And that was actually what generated it, because 38 spots, and I understand we're in code, so I'm not disputing that. It's just I'm thinking about, you know, those nights when they have all of the parents there, you know, and we're talking about 600 students, and just making sure you're proactive in thinking about those things.
Absolutely. I have some questions, sorry. Thank you so much. Well, first of all, I just want to thank everyone that's here. Again, it's so important to have folks show up for what is important to you, so thank you. Gracias a todos que vinieron esta noche. Es muy importante que vengan a representar a algo que sí les importa mucho. And I just really want to ask, so you mentioned that there's no lights. What about the after school activities? Because I did see in the in this letter, that there will occasionally be after school or nighttime activities. Is that just going to be inside the building?
Yeah, so the building C would include the multi-purpose room, so it would be in there. Now there is going to be a light on this corner here. I think it's right here. But that's for access, you know, when it's wintertime, people have to see where they're going. But the actual court will not be lit for any type of
use. No games, no sports,
Correct.
After school activities of that sort.
Yeah, because it's only grades 3 through 8,
okay.
So they don't have those teams.
And then you mentioned that you have 2 school buses. Are you guys planning to have more transportation available?
If we can, absolutely. So right now, they're not at the capacity of the 650.
Mm-hmm.
They're lower than that. 650 would be the max, of course. If they are able to get additional buses, certainly that could be an option.
Okay. Awesome. And then, just out of curiosity, how are your admissions handled?
So admissions, like all charter school, it's a drawing, right?
Lottery.
Lottery, yes. The wait list for these schools is very long. I believe they have about 500 to 600 people on the wait list generally. It's actually gotten higher recently because of COVID. A lot of parents are wanting to put their kids into the charter schools rather than CCSD because they're so much smaller and just more focused. So yeah, it's the lottery system with wait lists.
And so I saw that you guys went back on Tuesday. Is that true? Back to school, regular?
We went back to school online the same day as CCSD, so we are in week 3, we finished week 3, right?
But still all online.
Yes, we're all online.
Oh, everything's online? Okay,
right.
I checked your website out and it said that September 8th you guys were going back.
Did you go back September 8th?
That might have been somebody else. Ours should say August 24th. Yeah.
That might be Nevada Rise, the other school that we should have a location.
Gotcha, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And there was, and this could have been also some information that I got from that same site. You know, I have it here, Nevada Rise. So, you guys aren't the same school?
Yeah, so right now they're sharing that other building with Nevada Rise.
Gotcha.
So they'll be splitting off and then Nevada Rise will be staying there.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, and again, like I mentioned, this might have been from that same site, but I did read something about charter schools and how they're started up because some surrounding schools need help. I did notice that there's multiple elementary schools and just a few middle schools. Is there any schools in particular that are needing that assistance at this time that you guys are aware of?
So Mr. Mooney walked in, actually, this is kind of fun. So Mr. Mooney was he was the first math teacher we hired. And if you were Mr. Mooney's class at MLK, can you raise your hand? After you. So our first big group of students that came were students were actually Mr. Mooney's fourth and fifth grade class with like 50 kids in the room. And so when he came over and started working with us, a lot of the kids came. So most of our families now are either from that original class or our siblings or friends of that class. So I'd say Martin Luther King Elementary School is definitely our biggest feeder school. That's why the math that they shared earlier had so many bubbles around that school.
Gotcha. Okay. Thank you so much.
Somebody got a motion?
per staff.
We have a motion to approve with staff recommendations. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion passes. Make sure you attend your planning commission on 10-6-2020. And again, I want to thank all of you parents and students and family members for showing up. It made a huge difference, and thank you. Okay, now we'll move on to item 4, VS200353, Conrad Rogers Group Incorporated, vacate and abandon all easement of interest to Clark County located between DeVary Lane and Kinley Drive and between Cheyenne Avenue and Cecily Avenue, alignment within Sunrise Manor, description on file. Is the applicant present?
Yes. Anna Christofferson, 2885 Fiskill Avenue, Las Vegas, 89120. You're representing me.
Tell us what you got. Yeah.
So basically, this is a housekeeping item. There is a, on the west end of the property, there was an existing 20-foot public drainage easement. It was public, to be publicly maintained. As we've gone through this process, they want that to be now private and privately maintained, so that we are vacating it and then rededicating it to make it private and privately maintained.
Very good. Is there any, now we'll open up public comment. Anybody wish to step forward, state your name and address for the record? None appearing. We'll move on to... We have a motion to approve with staff recommendations. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion passes. Make sure you attend your planning commission meeting 10-6-2020. And now we'll move into general business. So let's knock out this first one, budget requests. Is there anything that, that anybody on the staff here, that on the board would like to see? And I'll start off by saying that I just want to reiterate that I would like to see high profile surveillance in the parks. We need to, and it, we're starting to see it, and I want to see it continue. Basically, take back our parks from the night. You know, it's we need that. And I'll say that personally, I just was involved, but was at the scene of an auto pedestrian on that park back over there off of Cary and Bledsoe.
Martin Luther King Park.
And it was kids hanging out in the park at 2 a.m. and running out and literally running into the side of a car. We don't need that type of, those parks have become a haven for that type of behavior, and we need to take and do something about it. And I think that that, we saw that those efforts, like the, I go back to it, Lewis Family Park, when Metro had the mobile surveillance thing there, the neighborhood got their park back. As soon as the surveillance left, it went back to the kid on the motorcycle at 3 a.m. So that's what I would like. Sorry for the speech. So let's go around the room and see if anybody's got anything they would like to see on the budget request.
It's the same thing we had asked for last year, and it's the, probably one of the most effective ways to make the assets that we have utilizable, just to get the security.
So.
Yes, thank you. So going on to the parks, I started searching just community initiatives that, community-based initiatives that exist somewhere else. I saw one in particular that I felt really aligned with what we were looking for, which is Parks After Dark is what it's called. And just making sure that there's always kind of activity going on around there. Again, because of the usage of the parks, wanting to be able to really utilize them to its full capacity. And I felt like that was really nice because with our city being so transient, we do have 24/7 hour lives. So, you know, sometimes you may think that it's strange seeing someone running at 2 a.m., but it's because, you know, that's their schedule and that's their life. So I really like that initiative, and I'd be more than happy to share that research as well with everyone. And I know community-based initiatives is a very broad subject, but I feel like I would love to either have some sort of survey or something that our community is able to know that they can do something if they want to, or even, you know, just joining or making a group or something that is just volunteering on their own time. That doesn't even have to take a part of county money or county funding. That can already happen, but how can we also push to have our community members know that that's available, or that the space is available, or that we even have these meetings? I know it's posted in the community centers and online, but I think I just really want to see, you know, I love having rooms full of people, and it really shows how much people care about these things. So I would love to just see some sort of more community engagement or involvement.
Yeah, I would piggyback off that. I would love to see the county use social media a little bit more. I don't see, for example, a lot of the COVID things that go up. I see them posted online on the website, but I don't see them necessarily posted on social media channels. So I think that that would be really, really helpful for things like this. Like, there's no reason that we shouldn't, that, you know, the dates for upcoming TAB board meetings across the county shouldn't be posted on the on social media. As I mentioned before, the most common, I like to get some awareness of the most common, like we were saying, the most common issues that we see with individual homeowners. So those sheds and those, you know, all those little requests, I would love to get some proactive communication with the community so they know what to look for. Because it seems like a lot of the times that's the issue, is that they don't know that things exist, or they don't, you know, they don't know that rules exist, that certain rules exist. And so I'd like to see, what in whatever form that may take, some more communication with the community in general.
Go ahead, Paul.
Marilyn Kirkpatrick put out a flyer one time to hurt all her people. Basically, they didn't want to talk about it and stuff like that. And she wanted everybody to talk.
We do that for Commissioner Sagerblum as well. The latest one we did is when we sent out 2 weeks ago our mailers for the small business one. So it just depends on what the community is interested in, if there are new programs. I think all the commissioners do that. Everyone has a newsletter, so I encourage everyone to also sign up for their newsletter. And then the elections department has a newsletter as well.
Yes. And
we do it all.
Okay. And
the commissioner has a pamphlet, and we bring him out every single time he comes. Well, back in the day, pre-COVID, we handed the flyers out.
Okay.
And I was going to mention, Commissioner Sagerblum's newsletter. It has everything that we've talked about with the numbers and who to call. It's really nice. Is there any way that we would be able to put that on a postcard or like a mailer or some sort?
We probably could. We do have budgets. I don't know how often we can do that. Those numbers are from the health district, so it's not the county. So we take them from the health district. The health district is a multi-jurisdictional agency, City of Las Vegas, North Las Vegas, and they have their own budget, so they're not under the county. But the Commissioner Sagerblum and Kirkpatrick are both on that board. We have our own marketing for COVID because we found that sometimes we're more effective than the health district. So a lot of the campaigns, the census minus campaign, is from the county, it's not from the health district. So we can absolutely push for them to give us more information. It's always helpful when we have constituents say, hey, we need more information.
Okay, one more. Red light cameras, is that something we can say here?
That's NRS.
Yeah, that, I was going to say that's state law. They're not legal here.
Well, I feel like that would be nice. The way people run these lights here.
I would love to see some, again, informational things on small businesses in our area. I personally get really frustrated with the amount of convenience stores and liquor stores that we get that just, we need retail, you know, we need services, not just Family Dollars and convenience stores. So I would love to see some way that people know doing business on this side of town is worth it. because as someone in commercial real estate, that's not what the conversation is. And I just would love to change that in some way.
So an economic development plan for the east side.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay.
Sorry, I had one more thing. Sorry, two more things. to go with the, you were mentioning about how the county does a better job getting information out to folks in the health department. And to go along with those lines, I mentioned it to the RTC bus and bench shelter the other day about possibly getting Estantus Manos flyers or information on the shelters, because there's currently some flyers and posters of Fight the Bite is what it is. And so I really thought that was useful, because it's like, oh wow, summer was coming, you know, mosquitoes. It would be really nice to see those posters on there. And then for elections, there will be a brochure coming out as well. But those are often given through events, outreach events, or any locations that have election material or information. So those are in the making and will be out soon.
Expired driver's licenses.
Exactly. So.
Okay, very good. That moves us into comments of the general public. So this is a period you can talk about anything. Anybody wishing to speak, step forward, state your name and address for the record. None appearing, public comments closed. Our next meeting date is October 1st, 2020, right here at 6:30 p.m. And we're adjourned. Thank you very much.
Thank you.